Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can also reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in WeTalk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, single parenting. We have a guest tonight, Ms. Angie Maury, an internet radio talk show community member. Traditional families consist of a father, mother, and at least one child. There are many reasons for the single parent household. Some reasons are tragic, some are selfish, and some represent the reality or the absence of a relationship. Is two better than one? Are we putting our children at greater risk when we choose to be single parents? How does single parenting impact on the children? The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops say, for your marriage, U.S. society has changed, however, and so have attitudes toward marriage and children. Society no longer assumes that married parents are the norm. At the same time, social science research has confirmed the wisdom and value of traditional practice. Children do better when raised by their married mother and father. Pay close attention to this. It's from the Conference of Catholic Bishops. In 2004, 68% of children still live with two married parents, 23% live with only their mothers, 5% live with only their fathers, and 4% live with neither of their parents. Only 45% of all teen children live with their married biological parents. Coming from the positive effects of marriage, from Mr. Patrick Fagan, children in single-parent families comprise 27% of all American children, yet they account for 62% of all poor children. Given that more than 32% of children are not living with both their parents, what impact does it have on the children? Are the children suffering? Are they resilient? Do they rebound from being separated, from divorce? Are children better off with one parent who loves them than two parents that are fighting? Children raised in intact married families are more likely to attend college, they say, are physically and emotionally healthier, are less likely to be physically or sexually abused, are less likely to use drugs or alcohol and to commit delinquent behaviors, are have a decreased risk of divorcing when they get married. That's under the assumption that they learn that marriage is something that, you know, to death do you part, like you have on the marriage vow, are less likely to become pregnant or impregnate someone as a teenager. Children receive gender-specific support from having a mother and a father. Research shows that particular roles of mothers, the nurturer, and fathers, the discipline, as well as complex biologically rooted interactions are important for the development of boys and girls. That's from Marriage and the Public Good, 10 Principles on 2006. A child living with a single parent is 14 times more likely to suffer serious physical abuse than is a child living with married biological parents. Note the word married in there, because we do have people who cohabitate. They are not married, but they are parents. So, a child whose mother cohabitates with a man other than the child's father is 33 times more likely to suffer serious child abuse. That's from Positive Effects of Marriage. That's Patrick Fagan again. In married families, about one-third of adolescents are sexually active. For teenagers in step-families, cohabitation, household, divorced family, and those with single unwed parents, the percentage rises above one half. That's Patrick Fagan again. Children of divorce experience lasting tension as a result of increasing differences in their parents' values and ideas. So these parents having conflict impacts on the child. At a young age, they must make mature decisions regarding their beliefs and values. Children of so-called good divorces fare worse emotionally than children who grew up in an unhappy but low-conflict marriage. So that's kind of saying stay in your relationship if it's not detrimental to the child. Even when you guys are unhappy, have conflict, that's kind of encouraging people to stay in that relationship. So the research cited warned parents to slow down and proceed with caution, as I just said, with before deciding to divorce to see if that's in the best interest of the child. So when you're separating, think about the children and make a decision based on that. So parents' marital happiness and discord negatively affect the children's well-being, but so does the experience of going through a divorce. So children are being impacted by what parents do or decide not to do anymore. Children in very high conflict homes may benefit by being removed from the conflict. So if a child is unsafe at the home, emotionally unsafe, physically unsafe, as we know, children are, you know, removed from the home by the state. So maybe the family could have jumped the gun and just gonna make that decision themselves just to get the kid out of the house. In lower conflict situations, perhaps as many as two-thirds of divorces are of this type. The situation of children can be made much worse following a divorce. Children benefit if parents stay together, work out their problems rather than get a divorce. So, all marriages have their ups and downs. Research using a large national sample found that 80% of people who were unhappily married in the late 1980s and stayed with the marriage were happier when they interviewed 5 years later. Hey, that's hope for a marriage right there. Okay, so we're going to go ahead to the Arlington Catholic Herald, newspaper of Arlington, Virginia, diocese. 15 million American children go to sleep every night in a home without a father. And contrary to the feminist propaganda, mothers cannot fill the father's role. What men bring to their children is vital to their emotional, intellectual, sexual, moral, and spiritual development. Consider these statistics. From the Family Research Council. At least one out of every three children experiencing a parental separation demonstrated a significant decline in academic performance in school and persisting at least 3 years. So that's indicating it took 3 years for this child to recover. Even after taking into account that the lower income in single-parent families, the absence of a father has significant negative effect on the educational attainment of boys. So fathers are important. I don't think we have an argument that fathers are important and that mothers are important and that both parents are important in the child's life. Compared with girls with intact nuclear families, girls with their families, girls who lose their fathers by divorce are overly responsive to males. I'm going to read this again. Compared with girls with intact nuclear families, that means girls who are with their mother and their father, everybody's in the same household. Girls who lose their fathers by divorce are overly responsive to males, are more likely to be sexually involved with males in adolescence, marry younger, are more often pregnant before marriage, and become divorced and separated from their eventual husband more frequently. Teens from disrupted families have more general health problems, are more likely to have consulted a health professional regarding emotional problems, and are more likely to be sexually active than children from intact families. So it sounds like we need to keep these families together to give our children a chance. But the family needs to be intact, and it needs to be a healthy family. The best predictor of violent crime and burglary is a community. In a community is not race or income, but the proportion of households without fathers. From the Archdiocese, they're saying that fatherless children are more prone to commit crimes. 70% of all juveniles in long-term correctional facilities did not live with their fathers growing up. Children in fatherless families are 2 to 3 times more likely than children in two-parent families to have emotional and behavioral problems. 3/4 of all children of divorce have contact with their fathers less than 2 days a month. So that's not a lot of involvement if you have a child. I don't know if that's because of distance or whatever, but according to the information and just logic, a child would need frequent contact with both parents. But if you're separated, that's almost impossible to do in some cases because some parents don't even live in the same state. Okay, so fatherless homes breed violence. This is from, according to Getting Men Involved, the newsletter of the Bay Area Male Involvement Network. This is from 1997. They say, this is from Mike Hall from the Father's Manifesto. He says 63% of youth suicides from fatherless homes are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. That's a lot of folks, right? That's a lot of youth right there. So 85% of children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. National Principals Association reported on the state high school, 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from, I don't need to say it again, so you kind of get the message here. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse systems, 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions, 85% of all youth sitting in prison grew up in fatherless homes. And that's a hell of a statistic. And they go on to say children from fatherless homes are 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 32 more times likely to run away, 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, 9 times more likely to end up in a state-operated institution, that's incarceration, y'all, 20 times more likely to end up in prison, well, placement, state operated institution, or that could be mental health placement also, or 20 times more likely to end up in prison. That's incarceration. Excuse me. So they're saying the fatherless boys, here we go again, fatherless boys. We have a caller of 9885. Welcome to Provocative Thoughts.
I
Hello?
Have a question. Hey, Carlson.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
So all these, I'm good. All these statistics that you're given, do you have any information regarding what race is happening?
Well, I have some, by reading on it, I have some things about race, but this isn't just about fatherless families and things like that. Yeah, but I do have some about black children and stuff like that.
I mean, it's interesting, it's interesting to hear the statistics. I would like to know, you know, is it the African-American community, is it the Hispanic community, and is it, you know, Caucasian? Like, that's interesting to know. What is the statistics on what racism is happening at?
Right.
And why? Because those numbers that you're given are kind of crazy and kind of sad, too, because basically these are our children. This is our future.
Oh, well, how about why do you think it might be happening?
I mean, I think it could be generational. I think that has a lot to do with being generational. You know, teens, girls coming up in a household where they didn't have fathers, you know, unfortunately they end up in the same situation. They go on to get pregnant. You know, unfortunately the father doesn't stick around, so the mother is raising another child without a home. I mean, go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, go, no, you go.
No, I mean, I work in the urban community, and unfortunately I see a lot of single mothers raising children, and the fathers are not in the home. And when you dig a little deeper, they were raised with their father not in the home. So it's kind of like, you know, the cycle has to get broken.
Well, let me ask you a question.
You have to realize, you have to think about who you're actually laying down with and actually going to have a child with. Is that man going to stick around? Is he showing you that he can be a good father? And if he does he have children? You know, does he have children already that he's in their lives taking care of? You know, you kind of have to think about who you're actually laying down with and producing a child with.
Carlton, okay. Can I add some dialogue to this discussion? One of the things that I have observed as a social worker is that there are men in the homes, but in many of these cases, they're under the radar. They're below the radar. Many of the men that are in the home with some of these single women who's helping to produce a lot of these children aren't counted in the household statuses or censuses when they're taken. I think there's a large number of what appears to be absent male in the homes because they're not accounted for. A lot of our poverty-stricken families are welfare recipients. They're on very limited income. Maybe some of these fathers don't work or have been incarcerated. And they may be physically in the home, but they are not part of the census in the home. And when some of this data is collected, it doesn't really account for what really is represented in these homes.
Right. Okay. If it said data might not be accurate. What do you think? That's my question. What do you think? Do you think that a single parent, male or female, can they raise a child?
No, I think that they can raise a child. I think
they raise a healthy child?
I think they can raise a healthy child. I think both sexes bring something, you know, to the table as far as the development of that child. That's why we introduce our children to other communities of people. That's why they go to school. That's why maybe some go to different religious institutions. That's why they go to rec centers. so that they can have experiences and encounters with the opposite sex. So if the male isn't present in the home, maybe there's a male in the school, maybe there's a male in some other part of their child's life that can also offer some of the developmental experience that child needs to encounter as the child develops into, you know, the various phases of life. So I think, although primarily the assessment is on the single mom who's raising this child, I think that single mom is also innovative enough to know that her child needs these other type of male encounters, and probably strategically, I would think, places her child in the company of what she may consider positive male role models to help and guide him as he goes through life alongside of her, even if it's not the particular male that would be normally in the household with the child.
Okay, we have another caller. Let me go to caller. Anybody just stay on the line? Caller, 1228, welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello?
Thank you.
Bless Hello, me. Welcome to Provocative
right
Thought. Beg your pardon?
I'm just coming in. I'm just listening for
I'm
a
just
second.
Listening? Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Okay, so my question is to both you young ladies, can a single parent raise a child or children alone, healthy, and can that relationship with that child within the family, in the school, in the community be a healthy relationship? Because we know that a lot of, there's more things that impact on a child's well-being than just parenting. Parenting is the beginning. So that's where the child gets his foundation from, ethics, morals, right? We call them, you know, manners and things like that, right? The child gets the do's and the don'ts from the, hopefully, from the parent or parents. So can one parent do that?
One parent can raise a child. I mean, they've been doing it, you know, for years. You know, I've known, you know, friends who've been raised by a single parent, and, you know, they turned out fine. Should it happen, you know, I guess it would be better to be in a two-parent home, but if, you know, if the two-parent home is violent, things, different reasons, you know, it may not always work out. But it's definitely possible for you to raise a child, you know, on your own, and they can be a productive citizen. But, you know, I do feel that, you know, children need both parents, you know, in their lives. And it's another situation,
right,
too. Being involved and actually being in the home, it's two different things. You said a fatherless child, like in the home. So you can be
right
out of the home but still be active in your child's life.
Right.
You know, that's definitely possible. You know, that's co-parenting. You know, sometimes things happen and you guys break up and you're not in the same home. But, you know, still be involved in your child's life is definitely possible and can be productive.
Okay, so what do you think about children? I beg your pardon? Hello?
Yeah, I didn't hear you say that.
Did you want to say something, sir?
Yes, I'd like to. I was listening to the young
okay
lady. I just wanted to say a couple things. You mentioned the children turning out as a good citizen. I sort of got a few little questions about that as far as the word citizen. Like, what is a citizen in today's world opposed to yesterday's world? Turning
I'm
out
just saying
right.
They can
what if,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. What do you mean? Are we going? You're taking the political route now?
Saying
you're taking the political route? Go ahead, Leslie.
I was just saying a child can be a productive citizen, meaning they can be out of your statistics. They can be, you know, they could, you know, they can grow up and not get locked up. They can grow up and not, you know, be in placement. They can grow up and, you know, and you know, and not do the same thing, like, for, you know, produce a child, you know, without a father in the home, you know, they can grow up and be a productive citizen and not meet your statistics that you were, you know, bringing up earlier in the show.
Right.
That's, you know, that's what
and
I was just basically saying. I'm not saying
right.
if you're
and
a racist, a parent, you know, you're going to end up, you know, in jail or end up, you know,
right.
whatever.
Yeah, the statistics are for people listening, those are statistics. So just remember that's dealing with a certain group of people who are, you know, who they got the statistics from. So based on those
mm-hmm.
statistics, this is what they came up with. So that's what the statistic is. So nobody talked to me. Nobody talked to you guys either, right?
Right.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, well, so it's a statistic. So we just use it as a basis for generating a conversation regarding the subject. So what about gang membership and being expelled from school? You know, like you said, I know you said a little bit about that, unless you've been in these institutions and, you know, placements and juvenile facilities. They kind of attribute some of that to children from single-parent homes are more prone. They're not saying that two-parent homes don't produce the same kind of child.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not
mm-hmm.
saying that children from two-parent homes don't get incarcerated, placed, aren't chewing in school, aren't part of gangs, don't use drugs. They're just saying that the children from single-parent families are more prone to these things. So I'm trying to see how one parent contributes to that. And, you know, I can see it maybe how it contributes to the child maybe not getting married because they come from a household where there wasn't a marriage. So maybe they could see themselves being in that same situation where a child that came from a household where parents were married, I can see how it impacts on ideas about marriage because I grew up in a household where my mom loved my dad forever and I want to do the same thing. That was a good experience for me. But what about the kids that grew up with the mom, you know, getting smashed by a father or the mother smashing the father? You know, what do you learn from that in terms of your attitude about being married and how would you, you know, raise your children or would you decide to even have kids after seeing something like that? You know, so it's a lot of things that might impact on a person's decision. So, you know, so what I'm trying to say is the two parents in a home are not going to stop violence in school if the parents aren't parenting and if the children or student is determined to act out in school or outside of school. Children will react to being violated, assaulted with violence in defense of themselves in school. It's true. Violence begets more violence, and sometimes it actually deters violence. So a no-tolerance mandate regarding school violence criminalizes and or punishes those who have been victimized by violence in the school. What do y'all think about that?
For me,
Hello? I said a no-tolerance mandate regarding school violence criminalizes and or punishes those who have been victimized by violence in the school. No matter what family they come from. And what I'm saying is that people will, you can come from a single family or a two-parent family. If you go to a school that's violent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have a no-tolerance mandate for violence, and somebody's beating you up, you defend yourself. You hurt somebody, right? So now the victim, right? It's a no-tolerance mandate, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's being put in the same boat as theoretically these kids that come from these single-parent households, right? Or households that are not nurturing their children. Because really the issue to me is if the child being nurtured in the household, single or double. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Because it doesn't matter if you got two or one. Are you nurturing that flower? Are you giving it sunlight, water, you know what I'm saying, talking to it, you know, doing the things you need to do for that flower?
Yeah,
I think that's
what it is, too. So it's like whether it's a one-parent home or a two-parent home, you have to know what's going on with your child. So if you don't know that
right.
your child is being a victim in school or being bullied in school, you can't follow school to, you know, see what's going on. So you don't even know what's happening. But if you have that parent at home and say the child gets, you know, expelled for whatever reason, you have a parent at home that's supporting that child can go up to school and kind of fight that situation. But if you're a parent, you know, it's a one-parent home, you know, you got to work, you know, 12 hours a day, you don't really have time to take off of work, go to the school, fight this about that, you know, go up to the school district. You know, you don't have that support and that time to do that. So, unfortunately, the child falls through the cracks, you know. But if you are
know
a
that
parent that's if you are a parent,
a parent who has no time for a child, how's that looked upon in terms of the school district?
It's frowned
regardless
upon.
Of if they lose their job or anything like that, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's definitely frowned upon. It's frowned upon. You know, you're judged. You can be, you know, you can be judged a bad parent because you don't know what's going on with your child, or you haven't been able to show up to the school meetings because, you know, you can't take off of work. You know, it's kind of a catch-22 because, like, it's a lose-lose situation. Like, if you're taking off time from work to, you know, go through a form with your child at school, you may risk losing your job, and then there's no money coming in, and you can't pay your bills. So it's just a messed-up situation, you know, all around. And, you know, realistically, I think the schools need to do better. The schools need to do better in supporting the children.
Well,
right. But this country doesn't really have much of support for that kind of thing. Oh, go ahead, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think it starts at home. I don't rely on the school to do things because the policy today is really messed up in the first place, because when I went to school back in the 60s and 70s, the discipline factor played a large role, gulped you at least 80% or even more of the children didn't act out the way they are now. So I think that's a big factor. So I don't agree with having school do so many things for the children, because it seems like they're doing a bad policy and an injustice to the child, well, the children today. It's totally different than they're in a worse shape today than they were back in the 60s and 70s,
So what do you think the school is doing to the child? What do you say they were doing something? You don't rely on the school to do what?
I'm sorry, the policy of discipline, they don't have that. They don't have no kind of discipline and patience. They don't have that kind of thing. Like, when I was in school, you couldn't do a lot of things. You got a beat down when I was in school. Now you can't.
Well, they have a no tolerance mandate. You know, well, Philadelphia schools have a no tolerance mandate for violence.
I understand that. I understand the no tolerance mandate, as they say. But that doesn't come with discipline, because if they just do something that the teacher don't like, if they yell, oh, you're not supposed to yell, go out the classroom and go down to detention or whatever. Back in the day, it was totally different. I mean, you got a beat down and then you sat down if you could. And then they took the music out of schools and all these other types of things out of school, so that's a big factor as well. All these things come into play, the way I see it.
All right. Okay, so single parents seem to be getting a bad spill here from the statistical point of view. We have another caller, 9042. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yes, I came from a single parent. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello? Yeah, I came from a single parent household, and my mother did the best she could, and thank God my brothers never got involved in any police trouble. You know, they went to adulthood and went on with their life. One is married, one is single. My sister, who passed away 7 years ago, was blessed with two daughters. She was a single parent. She was married briefly. And I had the privilege of raising them, the adults. It can be done, but the parents got to be willing to make sacrifices in a sense that invest in time in children. They should be taught to do and don't at an early age, respecting the adults. That's at the household level. And in my case, in my personal life and raising my two young ladies, we have spiritual nourishment also. We go to a church, a Bible believing church, where that also helps out. But the main work is done in the household and the parent interacting with the children. You get to know your children. You know, it's no mystery. You get the homework. If it's not good, you follow up. And over the years, whenever I went to those teacher-parents meetings, particularly in the many of the African-American community, less than 10 parents would show up on a consistent basis. And the 12
that's
years
true.
They went there. And
that's
no excuse to that, because the teacher will meet with a parent at that parent's convenience, especially if there's something going on with the child for their knowledge or discipline.
Right.
If there's a will, is a way, still works. That's still a viable way. A parent that wants to know about their child can know about their child way in advance of them getting in trouble. Now, if a child go behind your back, and sometimes they do, you get in a situation, it won't be so involved like it is today. You can pick up some things before they get really into it. And you have a right to go in their room and check their drawer. If you think their behavior is off balance and they doing, you know, their behavior is opposite of what they normally do, you have a right to go in their room and check drugs. There are no locked doors in my house. There are no locked doors in my current house. So parents got to be on the guard, and they will pick up something or someone will pick it up, and then they'll bring it to their attention and they can go forward on it. But there's no excuses. Excuses is over. Parent, a single parent, ideal family is a father and mother. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be. But unfortunately, particularly in the Black community, unfortunately, that's not the way it is. So, yeah, it can be done. I have done it, and I came from that environment. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. And if you can't make that parent-teacher meeting, what you can do is communicate with the teacher. We have another caller on 3498.
Hi. How you doing? I just wanted to add, I came from a single-parent home as well. And I'm a very functioning adult, not a lot of issues. And but I have about 10 years worth of statistics of working with families in the home. And it's kind of like a mixed bag, what I'm finding, that single parents definitely can raise a child and turn out to be, you know, a good student in school. You know, and they turn out to be, good adults as well. I find some differences when you have a husband and a wife in the home. They are there for the support, the family support, having two parents in the home. Going on family vacations, I find more when you have two parents in the home. I guess because they can afford it financially versus a single parent. But I do see a lot of single parents who, do pretty well with their children. And sometimes they look for other family members to pitch hit for them when it's time to go to school to have a meeting. I've seen a lot of women have a good relationship with their employers where they know if they have to take off for their child, you know, that they will give them that leeway. Go handle your business and then come to work late. And I also see a lot of grandmothers and grandfathers stepping up that maybe they, if mom can't get off work, they will go to the school and have a meeting. So it's kind of like a mixed bag where, you have a lot of successes and a lot of failures. It just, depends on the individual. And I definitely agree with the other caller with, parents co-parenting, and that can work out very well too. If the mother is oriented towards being a co-parent, sometimes women tend to get a little I don't want to say anything bad, but sometimes they're kind of angry at the man if he's left them for another woman, but maybe dad wants to step up and be a father, but they don't want to let the father in because he's with another woman. I've been in contact with a fatherhood program not long ago, and that happened to several men where mom was roadblocking every move he made just because he was with somebody else. So it's kind of, you know, like I said, it's really a, it just depends on the individuals, how they want to succeed with their, you know, proceed with the child and give them, you know, whatever that they need.
But, so those are barriers to parenting children.
Right.
Right. And since you mentioned barriers, we have other, we have barriers that are outside, that are in the family, that come from, that are externally of families, are individuals of families are exposed to, like drugs. The drugs have no borders, age, sex, ethnicity, religion, class, economic status, political affiliation, etc. We live in a society that promotes and perpetuates chemical use and addiction. Alcohol is now being sold in grocery stores. Cigarettes are sold almost in every type of retail store. Heroin and crack, cocaine, and alcohol use is rampant. As we know, many individuals, relationships, families, and communities have been destroyed due to the impact of these drugs or toxins. Social and ethical values of the society have eroded since the mid-60s and started free-falling in the late 80s and 90s. I say the problem is more complex than having two parents in the home. Ideally, as we said, we all agree, two parents are better than one. When they are working in the best interest of the family, have an adherence to a strong ethical and moral code, and interact with the family members, the community, and the agencies that come in contact with the family. So what say you about these barriers, these other barriers that we didn't talk about, but I'm just bringing them, I'm throwing them out there right now, that to a parent that separates family, because we know addiction will separate a family pretty fast, right? Anybody?
Correct. Most definitely, when somebody's addicted, whether it's drugs or gambling, alcohol, it definitely affects the mindset of, you know, what's happening in the family. I've seen a lot, just people be addicted to gambling and kind of spend all the family's money, and it really, it does affect a lot of things.
There are trees, bushes, grass, and
can you say any callers who are on the line that are not ready to share their opinion, at least put their phone on mute, because I'm having a hard time understanding everybody because I hear a lot of background.
Having a hard time? Okay.
Yeah, it sounds
all
like
right.
A television.
You said if
on.
I get the mute.
That
yeah, right
just
there?
Put it on mute, and when you're ready to talk, you can come
all
off
right.
of mute.
Okay, there you go. That was it right there. So in the African American community, 72% of black children are raised in a single-parent household. That's a lot of folk right there. Is Leslie, are you still there?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I'm still here.
Leslie, did you hear that? 72% of black children are raised in a single-parent household.
That's a fast statistic.
In the African-American community. That's the statistic they got for that.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I mean, I think we got to do better. Not saying, you know, it's just the black community, but that's pretty high. And I did want to
So what's that about? We don't love each other? What's that all about? Why are we not, you know, with our children?
Well, I think people just don't marry just because they have children. You know, you have to love the person, and like she was saying earlier, you got to know who you're laying down with and deciding that you're going to have a baby with. You know, you just don't marry somebody because you have a baby with them. And, you know, that's not going to work out if you don't love the person. And it's only going to end up in divorce. I will say, and it's only a very, it's just a small, since you're talking about getting married, I have a few families that I work with, and happily, a handful of them have recently gotten married, and it was, you know, I always praise them and, you know, wish them so much luck, and it's really a nice thing when somebody says we're engaged or we're getting married or we got married. So I just wanted to share that, but it does happen, with people nowadays, not like it used to, but it is a good feeling to have somebody tell me that they just got married or Saturday they're getting married.
Okay. The United States had 25.8% of the children being raised by a single parent, compared with an average of 14.9% across for other countries. So just in the U.S. is 25.8% of children. But when we went to African American children, it rose to 72%.
I mean, I'm thinking
so that
you know, as blacks, they may not feel that it's that important. You know, because like I said, I think sometimes it's generational. Like if you didn't come from that, then it's not expected of you. So they may not expect to, you know, get married because they didn't come from a household where, you know, it was two parents in a home. Their mother was married to their father. So if you're not taught that, and it's not like if you're not taught that, if it's something that you don't know, then it's not expected of you. But we just gotta change our thought process, I think.
Okay. Well, that's actually exactly what they're saying.
Well, I think that goes back to what Leslie was saying earlier about maybe it's generational, because like you're saying now, if this is what was represented before me as a child, then it would be very easy for me to live this same lifestyle when I become an adult. And I've seen that a lot with families I've worked with. You know, they don't see single parenting as a problem. My mother did it. That's what they say. My mother did it. We're all right. You know, but sometimes you see that, yeah, you're right to an extent. You know what I'm saying? Life doesn't have to be this hard if you get the support of a close parent.
And I'm personally going to speak from experience. Like, my mother and father have been married for 39 years. And I'm kind of older, so I don't have any children. I'm not married. So when people see me, the first thing they'll say is like, oh, you don't want any kids? They're not going to say to me, oh, you don't want to get married. Like, they'll ask me if I want to have kids before they ask me if I want to get married. And I have to tell them, like, that's a problem. Like, why is it that you're going to ask me if I want kids? You're not going to ask me if I want to get married.
Right.
So, like, when they ask me if I want to have kids, I said, well, I would like to get married first.
Because I want to
be raised like I was raised in a two-parent home. Like, that's how I was brought up. That's how I was raised. So people, and when I say that, they're like, oh, well, yeah, you're right. You should get married first. But, like, that wasn't their first question or their first thought. They're like, oh, you don't have any kids, Leslie? I'm like, no, I don't have any kids. Why not? I'm like, because I want to get married. So it's just like their thought process is thinking like, oh, I don't have any kids, and they're surprised I don't have any kids. Why are you not surprised I'm not married?
Right. Well, the experts say that there has been a cultural shift toward greater acceptance of single parent child rearing. So that's exactly. It's not a black thing. It's a cultural thing in the United States. Brother, you still on the phone? Hello?
Yeah,
you still on the phone? I want to get a man's point of view. What do you think about that?
Say that again, sir.
There's been a cultural shift for greater acceptance of single parent child rearing. Where's that noise coming from?
That's where somebody needs to put their phone on mute.
Well, I don't know who that could be. Is that you, Ted? You got something in the background?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
9042 is on mute, so I don't know who that is. 3498, somebody over there with you?
As I stated earlier, it has something to do with the generation factor as well as the discipline factor. If you look at the 50s, 60s, and 70s, there were more males at home, period, and father and mother relationships that dwindled down, especially in the melanated folk community. It was totally different now it's like it's a big generation gap. It's very interesting. But the main factor, and I hear what everyone's saying, is more discipline-oriented, everything dealing with discipline. Because if you go to Kemet, the children there is totally different than these children are here as far as their demeanor and the way they're acting. It plays, a lot of things comes into play, the food factor, television, and a whole lot of other things, because there seems like television is raising people as well as we're so off the mark on many things when it comes down to knowing a lot of information on why. But the facts that started happening in the 60s and 70s that started dwindling down after that.
That's right.
And as far as the getting the male out of the household in the melanated communities, the projects and all these types of things. And I'm sure I don't want to go into all these other things. You don't have time for all of that. But, yeah, I think that came into play, a destruction of a people.
Okay. I'm going to just run through a list from Brittany Wong from the HuffPost of why I'm single. I'm single because I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle for anything. I haven't found a mate who has captured my imagination and is fully his own person. I'm single because it's a choice and because I don't need someone to validate that I am an amazing, caring, beautiful woman. I find it hard to imagine there's a man out there who's mature and awesome enough to take me and my four kids. He'd have to have a big heart. My focus right now is to raise my kids as best I can, work off, pay my bills. So she focuses on herself. Let me see what else we got. I need to work on myself before I can for a partner. I'm not going to establish high standards for someone else and not for myself. Oh, that's honest right there. I like that. I realize I have a pattern of loving emotionally unavailable men. So I've hit pause. That's nice, too, because this lady has realized that there's something in her that she's making poor choices. So hopefully the pause button will go off sometime and she'll allow herself to meet somebody who is emotionally available. I've yet to meet a woman who has made me think, wow, being with them would be better than being single. Because I have everything I need to be happy and the whole with myself. I don't know what that's about right there, but if she's happy, that's okay. Honestly, I am just too lazy. Relationships take effort. I don't try to call, text, or any of that. I've started talking to guys, but realized that it required more than I wanted to put forth. Then I just stopped responding. People as individuals are wonderful in small doses, but I wouldn't want to anyone around me all the time. But that person definitely does not need to get married. So I just haven't met the right one yet, and I'm not willing to play the I have a man, although he isn't worth diddy game. Now, she's not selling for anything. That's another one of those. Gosh, there are too many reasons to count. I would say this, though. I would never consider marriage again unless he was my very best friend. You remember that song? Next time I fall in love, be a friend. So, okay. What do y'all think about those reasons? There's plenty more, but, you know, I don't want to read all those off for the night. What do y'all think about that? Is that why we're not getting married?
I mean, I think everybody has their own opinion of why they're not married, and you just, you know.
All right.
Through a whole list of them.
Right. It's much more.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think at different times in our life, we could probably cross-reference all of those different stories. I think, like you told the initial story about the girl with the four children, I think as you was reading it, I said, did she grow to that place? Was she a victim of poor relationships previously and she moved to a place where she started to value self. Was she coming from a place of brokenness and realized that, you know, I'm more than my pain or I'm more than my circumstances? Being a single parent with four children is not a discipline. So how do I make the best of it? I think a lot of things, different things came to my mind as you read the different descriptions. Even for myself, I could say, you know, there's been times in my life where, you know, I guess in trying to raise a child, I felt like I didn't need a relationship. You know, like this was fulfilling enough for me. And then, you know, as those children get older, then maybe you might think about dating again. But I've seen many women and many friends of mine who are single parents that have come from that place. I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. You know, it takes too much work. I don't feel like the drama. Or, you know, they're at a place now where the children are out of the way and maybe, you know, they'll consider dating. So I think all those stories have their own truth. But I think for every individual woman, she has her own truth, and her opinion about single parents or being a single parent.
Well, I think my opinion or facts rather are based on the values of old has been washed down the toilet. The fact that a lot of women they base everything off of tele-eye vision. Most of the women I meet, and I'm all over the place, and I mean, as a builder, as a musician, and all, I see so many women, and the criteria as far as I'm concerned, I'm looking for women with real hair or without all this other nonsense. They watch
What's
that
to do with raising a child? How do you relate that to parenting?
Well, I'm talking about relationship. I'm sorry. I was dealing with relationship because the relationship got a lot to do with the values of old.
I'm following you, but how did you relate that you're looking for a woman with real hair, and how does that relate to her ability to be a parent?
Because you said something about relationships. Because the relationship starts with the father and mother, and then raising the child because they're in love. That's what I'm talking about, the values of old. Has a lot to do with
so that's stopping you from getting into a relationship if she don't have her own hair. That's like, whoa. That's like having a peg leg or something like that.
I went there because that's all I was looking for. I'm not looking for a woman, she got to have $1 million. I don't care about if she don't have any money. My ideas and values are total.
Would that stop you from marrying a woman or being interested in someone because they had extensions in their hair? That's what I'm asking.
For
Did you
me?
Think that she
yeah.
wouldn't make a good mother? Yeah, she wouldn't make a good mother because she got an extension?
Well, if you travel to other countries and you see the culture that we're supposed to have opposed to what we have adopted, you see a big difference and you have a different concept after that. Because I think I'm getting into a lot of different things here, like the pineal gland and the thymus and the melanin and the hair factor messing up you getting vitamin D and all that kind of the way you think. I'm into all of that. So
I'm just trying to see what's preventing you from having that relationship where you can have that marriage or have those children and raise them with that person. Are you saying if they have extensions, they cut off from that? They don't qualify. And we got 50 seconds. I need you to say it in 15 seconds.
Oh, I just wanted a woman with real hair. I just wanted a woman being real.
All right. We'll leave it at that.
I'm
just asking, could that a woman with extensions raise a child? That's what I'm asking you. Does she qualify to raise a child?
Oh, that wasn't
your
subject matter.
No, I'm just asking. Oh, she's good, but she just can't be with you. She can raise a child, but not with you, right?
Right.
Right, there you go.
I know that sounds not.
That's what you want, man. That's your choice, man. That's you. It ain't right or wrong. That's what you want. We ain't talking about right or wrong. Okay, so we got to finish up for the night. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank Retalk Productions and everybody for calling and listening to the show. See you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.